Okay. Give everybody another minute. See what's happening. So, anything new in the world with anybody? No?
Hello, it's John.
Hi, John.
Hi, Dale.
I'm wondering if Beth is white stuff outside of his window.
What?
Must be snowing in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's just about starting to turn into flakes here.
Well, something here today. But it's cloudy, so it's a very miserable day.
Bright, sunny, blue skies, 78 degrees, perfect afternoon for a ball game to beat Minnesota.
Good morning.
Is that Dan?
That's Dan. Hey, Ed. Everybody.
Hey, Dan.
When's your site visit coming up, Dan?
A week from Friday, May 10th. And I just got back from the Senate Directors meeting that was held Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
This is Jill. We're going to be using WebEx this morning, so if you haven't logged in yet, make sure you're on it.
Okay.
Jill, could you just resend the link? Actually, maybe I have it. Hold on.
Yeah, it didn't hyperlink in Ed's message, so let me resend it quick.
Okay.
Hi, Michael. Are you all ready for tomorrow?
Well, I haven't started a lot of what I need to do. That's going to happen tonight. But I have a ticket, which is an important part of preparation.
And do you have? Did you get information from everybody?
I did get what I needed. I have a quick question for you, Ed, which is in the January 2013 talk. There's a summary of the numbers of subjects and all the rest, and it's dated January 2012. Was that as of a year ago, or should have just have read January 2013?
Damn if I know, but I can send you, Bill sent me the latest figures as of yesterday.
Okay.
I can send those to you if I can find Michelle's email. All right, I'm doing that right now. Its way to you. All right. So I have a few items on the agenda today that I think Elizabeth, your postdoc, I think, is going to present as well, right?
Yes, she is. Prof. T. Gautam is going to present.
Okay. And that's in line with we decided last time that we would try to have short 15-minute presentations on some of the projects, and Elizabeth was kind enough to volunteer her postdoc. And
yesterday, but she's good with it.
So we'll go from there. I'll just update you a little bit. I was at the PASS project, I guess 2 weeks ago, Cape Town, and spent a few days there going over the PASS project, and I was very impressed with what was going on and the amount of data that they're collecting. It's really a massive data set with lots of kids that are going to be natally exposed. And they are measuring in multiple domains and have submitted at least one grant to follow up, but I think they have plans for a lot more. They're having a meeting in Washington starting tomorrow, and Michael is going to be going to that to kind of present an overview of what CFAS is doing and to kind of look at common themes or projects that we might be able to collaborate on. The one problem that I see with the past projects is that they're really not breaking too many of the codes until 2016. So, you know, we talked about how anything that we find prior to that might be able to be confirmed with the past subjects once they decide to break the code. We also came up with some ideas that they hadn't considered for things they might look at ahead of time. And but it's a very impressive project, and Bill and Dale, you should both be very proud of what you got going on there. I think it's pretty amazing that just the sheer number of people that they're seeing on a daily basis. So.
Yeah, can't take too much credit for it, but it's a very impressive group, and yeah, they do have that one little hindrance of not trying to upset the recruitment, the ongoing recruitment, by revealing the alcohol exposures and other exposures. So hopefully there'll be a wealth of information that comes out of it in the end, and that's what we all expect.
I have one question about that. For example, they're collecting tremendous amount of data. And data, are they currently analyzing that data, even though they don't know which group the subjects are in? Or are they just going to wait till the end and then try to analyze it all then?
It's pretty much the latter. There have been occasions to do some interim analyses in ways that don't get into the exposures, just to be able to put some demographic information as preliminary data into an application. But yeah, most of the multivariate analysis and discovery analysis is going to occur towards the end.
But I mean, like, for example, in their imaging studies, are they just looking at sizes of various structures, not knowing what group they're in, but so that when they do break the code, the data will already be there?
For like the 3D.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the ultrasound specifically, but
I guess the question is, I mean, if they're taking the latter approach, is there any sense of how long it might take them to analyze the data and start to release information once the code is broken?
Well, speaking a little off the top of my head, I think their plan is to, in the final year, they're in, I think that's 2.5 years away. Early in that year is when they're going to start poising themselves for the final analysis, even though there'll be study subjects not being recruited at that time, but still, the children will be aging out, reach the age of one to have completed the study. So there'll be a dwindling down in that period of time. But they're going to be, developing their continuous variables and setting up the analysis and doing some preliminary analyses, so that they're ready when all the data is in the database and ready to be used. But I think we all anticipate it being a bit of a scramble. Very likely there'll be a no-cost extension period where this stuff gets continued and completed. But this is going to have been a 10-year period of recruitment of 12,000 pregnancies, and so it's a mountain of information.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take years to analyze.
I think you're right. You know, they're going to go after their primary questions, and but there'll be many more that can be you know, mined out of that information.
Dale, is there any reason that they would not be able to release to us just the identity of control subjects for some of the image analysis that Peter Hammond and Tatiana Farood have been doing?
I think it's conceivable. One of the things they don't want to do is have information get out into publication that may be interpreted as a negative view of the population, you know, while they're still in recruitment mode. So we do talk from time to time about the possibility of you know, just taking X number from this group, X number from that group, and running an analysis, which would not reveal the demographic distribution in the population. And so, you know, I think there's some middle ground there that can be explored.
All right, well,
we'll be going there tomorrow.
And we're waiting to hear what Michael has to say. But I was very impressed with the sheer amount of data they're collecting in a number of different domains. It was a little, not disappointed, but that find out anything about what the effects of alcohol were, we didn't really know anything yet. So,
yeah. So you visited Hein Odendahl and Kuhn.
Yeah, we had a nice 2-day visit with them.
Yeah, so they're at Tigerberg Hospital, associated with Stellenbosch University, and they have they're recruiting about 7,000 of the 12,000 pregnancies in Cape Town. And they have built up a tremendous infrastructure and have probably, I'm going to take a guess, 40 to 50 people working under them, you know, doing various in this very complicated protocol.
So can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Michael, when you're there tomorrow, you know, I've been in the loop on some questions about doing some neuroimaging, I guess, in some of the earlier recruited kids there. And Hannah knows about it, and I think, I forget the guy's name, George at Cape Town. So I don't know if you can just ask her in conversation what's going on with that, because I know, and I could be more actively participating through. I haven't heard for a while, and I thought since you'd be there, maybe you could ask about it.
You're looking specifically for assistance in recruitment?
No, I'm just saying that, you know, we have before talked about being able to do neuroimaging age, you know, when they're old enough, and probably after the code is broken.
Right.
Talk of neuroimaging, and I'm really interested in that, and I think, you know.
Well, they're imaging babies. Now.
With MRI?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I don't know about that.
Well, they're
doing ultrasound and capturing some of those features.
The woman that we talked to in the imaging department was telling us that they've had some reasonably good impact.
You're breaking up. I missed the last word.
That they were having good luck in scanning infants. Now, maybe it's a different project than the past project.
Yeah, it could well be. They could be doing some things on the side that I don't know about. They're certainly, of course, with CFAS doing the 3D facial imaging. And then I do know of the ultrasound measures, trying to pick up on some features there, both 3D facial with the 3D ultrasound, but also landmarks in the brain.
Ed, I know they're doing IV babies there, so maybe that was the context.
Maybe that. I mean, she was telling us all the projects that the image center was. So
was it?
I might have been about what was involved in FAST and what was involved in other things.
Who were you talking to?
I can't remember her name. She knew Catherine and
Ernesta Mankey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Just to clarify, Elizabeth, you're looking to, when they're all finished with the, still image them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a great idea, but I know other people have been talking about it as well, so I don't, you know, I want to, in a politic way, and I'd rather do it in conjunction with CFAS than another avenue, but, you know, whatever.
So I guess the more broad question that could be asked is whether some of the projects that CFAS has ongoing ultimately enroll CAS subjects after they've ended their participation in CAS.
Right, and by that time the kids would be old enough to do some of our stuff, like 5, 6, 7 years.
Right, you know, when they hit that age, could we do neuropsych testing, genetic imaging,
yeah,
brain imaging, and so on? Sure.
But wouldn't they want to recruit their own subjects for their for continuation of their studies as opposed to...
Well, it's not clear that they're going to be continuing the study because their real focus was on SIDS.
Yeah, no, I know it was, but my understanding, naive as it is, was that they wanted to continue since they saw the real strength and the benefit of their data set. But,
right, yeah.
Know.
And that's why I'm saying I want to do it in a politic way so it's not like...
I think they have the plan... investigator-initiated projects,
yeah,
that follow through on. So I
can tell you that they have been thinking about follow-up studies for the last year and a half, 2 years, and even before then, I'm sure, in sketchier ways. Nothing is yet in place. There are things in motion, I'll say. But, you know, it's never too early to, you know, strike up and try to find that opportunity. You know, this group has different skill sets, that group, and there's lots of opportunity, I'm sure, there.
Yeah. I know they were very curious about the 3D imaging, and so I'm sure that they would like to keep hoping to be able to keep the camera. Tatiana has... All right.
Someone's breathing into the phone. I wonder if we could mute ourselves.
Everybody here all right, or is there a problem?
There's some breaking up and some...
Yeah, there's some breaking up.
All right, so Michael, you don't need anything from anybody for some closing then, and I wanted to take care of that.
I think I have what I need, and I'll figure out what I don't have when I start speaking.
Okie doke.
quick question for Michael. Michael, will you present some of Peter and Peter's 3D stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Peter sent me some beautiful slides.
Yeah, they'll really enjoy seeing that.
Because there's a request for some assistance from PASS on that.
Great.
I mean, they're taking the images, but my impression was that they really didn't have a good idea of what some of the findings were coming out of the imaging data from CFAS at all.
Yeah, well, as Peter can attest, he gave a presentation to the dysmorphology group, but it hasn't trickled its way up to the steering committee yet. So there are quite a few people that will be at the meeting that have yet to see this.
Yeah. And also it was people actually doing the work who... You know, they were doing the work, but they really weren't sure of why they were doing the work. And so I think that went over pretty well with them. So, I mean, didn't get a lot of it from me, but I think Michael's presence tomorrow will be important. All right.
Ed, you're cutting up every once in a while.
All right. Take it off speakerphone. Is that better?
Yeah.
Well, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Bill, Data Access Committee, any update on that?
You know, not really. I'm sorry I missed the last meeting, but I did get some excellent notes from Michelle. I wanted to go over the comments he had. First of all, for phase one stuff, I think the next task for us is to think about what kind of methods to make the phase one data visible or available or accessible. So if there are ideas from this group, things that you've experienced in the past that have worked well for you or ways that you would like to provide the data, I would like to get those ideas. And then we can kind of talk about amongst ourselves in the data access committee about those. I assume there are data sharing plans in the proposals, and so I'll go track those down. I still have to do that. And then I'm also presuming that there will be access through CFAST.org. In other words, if someone at some point in the future wants access to CFAST data, the place they will go to get that will be CFAST.org. If that doesn't seem to work out well, we can always kind of stand up a website at Indiana to do that. But I think, Jennifer, you and I maybe will want to talk a little bit more about that. About how to make that happen. And then I think the next thing to do is, you know, with the task we have in front of us, looking at the NIH changing data sharing policy with what's in the RFA that you recommended I look at for data sharing requirements, and then what we have for data sharing plans of the proposals, I think we can start to pull together a framework of, you know, what we're promising and delivering. I was a little confused about your comment, and I'm sorry I missed it last month, about public access. So public for me means the great, John Doe public person. I had presumed that these mostly would be made available to researchers.
You presumed right. Public in that was that it would be made available to people who requested it through CFAS. And,
right, and some sort of written proposal that the committee would look at. And
they would have to have a written justification of why they wanted access, and then we would either through the steering committee or whatever decide whether that would be useful.
Right. That was my understanding of the term public also.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So that's all I have.
All right. The IRB, Indiana, is that all taken care of now?
We have a statement from our office that our IRB will be approved before the deadline. That's from our IRB office.
Okay. Yes, and everyone who we made suggested changes to did make those changes and send back some revised copies. I don't have the final IRB approval on all of those yet, but I assume that those will be forthcoming as they're approved.
Okay. So is there anything that you need from people in CFAS to move that forward?
I have contacted everybody that I'm missing them from.
Okay.
We're really good on all of those.
All right. I guess Jen will come back to the website thing in a little bit. The updates, people need to put their publications into the CFAS publication site. We are moving forward to redoing the website, and we would like that to be current. So if you have publications that have not been thrown into that CFAS publication list, we would need the citation as well as the abstract. And I believe that we're still looking at how to make available the article or a link to the article for people. Some journals allow it, some don't. So we'll still have to deal with that part of the making publications available.
When it's free access, they can just click on the existing link and it will take them to that to the PubMed site.
Jen will show that. She goes over the website. But sorry, this is Jill. I just wanted to interrupt. Leah is on for Tatiana today, and she has to leave in a little bit. So if we want an update from her, we might need to go to that now.
Leah, you're on. Leah?
Here. Tatiana sent some slides out to go over to update everybody with. I don't know if you guys have them.
I'll put them up right now.
So, Jill, you're going to WebEx now for something?
Yeah, I will.
All right. Has everyone responded? I guess most people responded to the RSVP about having dinner at the RSA meeting. And Jill will be back to you for a date on that.
Can everyone see the slides?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we, Ken Jones and I just were in University of Minnesota with Jeff Wozniak's group. 37 kids, and some of them had already just had a saliva sample taken, so you know, kids had saliva. We also trained Jeff and his study coordinator, Marissa, and a couple other postdocs, I think, to use the camera to set it up, take it down, move it if they ever want to take it out in the field. So I think they'll be collecting images regularly now. I think they have a few different on the kids there.
You're cutting out, Leah.
Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next slide, in Ukraine, Jeff went with Claire Cold and Julie Cable, and he trained the people there to use the camera. There was one person there who had been trained before who was also there and apparently remembered everything, and Jeff was very happy. And they will continue to collect images and transmit IU. Oh, you're ahead of me, Joe. Okay. Ken and I are going to Emory's group in May, and we're going to see Elizabeth South's group in July. And as Ed talked about the past collection, we're just about finished taking longitudinal images on the 12-month babies that also have a one-month image. So I'm not completely sure what the plans are. Camera there in the future. I just know they want to keep it and collect as much data as they can there. And we bought three new systems with the grant renewal, and Jeff Rogers did an amazing job turning everything around to get everything to go to the Ukraine, and Jeff Wozniak's group. Sarah Mastin now has a new camera. It's much faster, and everything is faster. We've had some problems with Tina's new cameras, so is working with us to fix those problems. We also have a brand new laptop for an old system that had a lot of, and hopefully when Tina's group sends that back, we'll that, and we'll be one more camera system plus one.
And that one, that's going to be a movable camera to go to LA and Emory.
Before we had the new systems, we had no camera to move around with, so we always had to have someone ship us the camera to wherever we were going to. Now, with the new cameras, we now have an extra set, so that even when I'm not going somewhere with a camera, Jeff has it here, so that if someone at one of the he can use the camera here to try and replicate the problem and help them figure out how to fix it.
Okay.
That's very advantageous to us.
So if anyone has use of a camera for a specific purpose, they could make a request to you then for a specific date.
Sure.
And do that.
Sure.
There's going to be a camp for young adults with fetal alcohol at the end of August in Toledo, and I would like to get a camera there.
Can you send Tatiana and I an email with a date?
I will. And
well, I assume you want someone to go with the camera to take the images.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So.
Could I say one thing, because I have to leave, about our DNA collection? Some of you, I don't know, there might be some new DNA that's come in the last couple of weeks. It has to be processed and then logged in, so I've just, in case someone noticed, be more saliva samples than what's in the Google Docs. I just wanted to let everybody know that there's a little bit of a lag, so it will be definitely on the next month's Google Docs.
I'm hearing a lot of heavy breathing.
I'm getting that too.
Yeah, me too.
It's not me.
Let's mute our phones if we're not speaking. Thanks.
He's gone out now.
Okay. Just quickly, I'll go through the projects and then we'll hear from Elizabeth, postdoc. Ken's not on, so we don't know anything new about the dysmorphology core. I was in Namibia, South Africa, or Namibia, Africa, with a couple of Ken's former trainees and Gene Hoyme's trainees, and they were doing assessments there. There appears to be reasonable rates of fetal alcohol syndrome throughout sub-Saharan Africa, and the WHO is interested in pursuing some of these, and it is going to provide some funding through NIAAA to study fetal alcohol in two selected countries, others if they want to pay their own freight. And so CFAS might be called upon to help participate in the evaluation. Sarah Mattson kind of put together a preliminary protocol that appears to have been modified a few times for various reasons unrelated to science, but it is going to be what it is, and so that population may become available over the next year. These projects are supposed to start sometime within the next year. So, all right, so Ken's not on, so we don't know anything about dysmorphology except there's people being trained now in other parts of sub-Saharan Africa. Bill, we heard about anything else in the informatics core? There still needs to be data uploaded. I know that.
Yeah.
People are being tested, but they're not showing all up on those Google Docs all the time.
Right. Yeah, no, nothing more from us.
Okay. Tina's not on, I don't believe.
Yeah, I'm on.
Hi, Tina. What do you want to tell us about the Ukraine?
As Leah said, which Ken and I went first to Melnitsky and got them organized as far as getting started with the preschool testing. And as of that last week, Claire and Julie went with Jeff and got the 3D camera set up at one site with the idea that they can move it from site to site. And Julie set up the new system for doing the heart rate monitoring, so there'll be a whole new system at each site. There's some malfunctional part of that, so we have to get that replaced and take it back in. And then we went through modifying the ethics piece of it for some minor changes that had been made. And so everything's a go there. And the only other thing is that the MTA has been approved to send an aliquot of all of the 1,200 or so samples that are at Davis to San Diego. So we're initiating that shipment now.
Okay.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
This is Dale.
I'm sorry.
I was looking at the Google Docs. I see entries for December and January, but none since. Is that?
Yeah. So we just got. They just did a data transfer after Claire and Julie left. So we'll update Google Docs with the new information and with a paper that's in press.
Great. Thanks.
Just because I was at the PATH project and they're doing these 3D ultrasounds. Is anything happening with the ultrasound data in Ukraine?
Yeah, so this in terms of the what you mean are the findings, yeah, the finding of the frontal thalamic distance being strongly associated with alcohol exposure still persists. But one of the most interesting findings out of it is that it frontothalamic distance predict score on the Bailey. And it predicts it at 12 months of age, and it predicts it whether you're alcohol exposed or not. But obviously, the alcohol exposed kids are doing less well. So that's probably the major thing. And as you know, they were interested and were trained on doing 3D imaging, but never had the equipment or capacity to do it. So they would be interested in adding that, but they have not done 3D imaging on this sample.
You know, the only thing is, if there is anything to get it out, because
it's going to get,
in two years, it's not going to be worth anything.
Absolutely.
After the PATH project comes out.
Absolutely.
So I would encourage Andy to get moving on that if he's still involved in that at all.
Yep.
Okay. Sarah.
We've been testing. We've got a good percentage, almost 100% of our older subjects for the year one goal tested. We're not doing quite as well with our younger subjects, but all three sites who are recruiting younger subjects are focusing pretty exclusively on that. We worked with informatics to develop a tally system, which is working really, really well, and we have it in place for a couple months now, and that's what allows us to keep track of the subjects. Ed, you mentioned that subjects have been tested but are not being reflected, and I don't know if you're talking about neurobehavior or not.
I'm talking about everything.
Okay. But for neurobehavior, one of the reasons could be that the tally system has it's got rules, and it only counts subjects that are present at 85% of the data. So 85% of the data have to be present, and the subjects have to meet criteria for one of our three groups. So what's in the Google Doc those subjects have met those criteria. So if there's a subject, for example, that's been partially uploaded or records been created, for example, those wouldn't be counted at this point. But we're happy about that project. And we have a paper that we are revising and resubmitting, and another one that we're getting ready to circulate pretty soon that looks at intergroup or within group heterogeneity to see whether there are multiple profiles that exist within the alcohol exposed sample.
Okay.
So that's what we've been doing.
All righty.
And collecting, Elizabeth will talk about, we've also been collecting, obviously, imaging and all the other data. Projects for the other, or data for the other projects.
Okay, let's see. Kathy Sulik. You guys are doing okay?
Doing good. So,
I can't hear you, Shauna. Hello?
Like we lost.
Can anyone hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you. It looks like they're lost.
Okay.
There's something.
Shauna, you back on? Shauna, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, just barely.
Barely. Okay, let me.
There you are. That's better.
Six.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh. Finishing up project where she has.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, you're breaking up again.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right, sorry about that. So Lindsay has been working on finishing up data collection on a project where she has scanned 48 adult mice that have been exposed to day 7 alcohol exposure. So she's starting to do analysis on fiber tracks with that right now. And what's really cool about this project is that she's also done a battery of behavioral tests prior to the imaging. So that data is all coming in and being analyzed, and we're excited about that. So.
Okay. Peter?
I have nothing to add except that you heard about the trip to Emory, Leia's going with Ken. And Mike Sutty, I suggested that he go along as well with a view to showing Ken some screening of the children's faces as they get imaged, so that hopefully we might be able to be quick enough to give him access to animations and heat maps of the facial dysmorphism in the children as they come in to see him for the dysmorphology clinic.
Okay.
This is the first experiment with, providing some screening of children's faces. That's all I've got to say.
I spent last weekend with James Mills, and he would still be interested in those analysis of the profile pictures he took in Chile. So if you're interested, I will dig up some of those old emails and try to put you two together again.
Okay.
All right.
Fine.
Peter, I've got a quick question for you. Were you suggesting that the 3D images would be captured and analyzed kind of on the fly during the visit or in advance?
They're not going to be analyzed. In other words, they're not going to be classified according to a group. But the idea is just to, on the fly, give Ken, the sort of animations I show, which indicate the facial dysmorphism in an individual child compared to a group of controls. So he can see better, for instance, in the cases where you get the children who've got more subtle facial dysmorphism, so he can see better what's going on in their faces.
Right. So those 3D images would be collected right then.
We hope within maybe an hour he could then see something.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Deepak, I know you had some data. I know you were trying to get it analyzed. Anything come out of that?
Well, we started getting some samples from Tatiana, and we did quite a bit of samples, but mostly control, very few fetal alcohol. But some of the fetal alcohol data look quite different, but there's a lot of variation. But overall, mean looks higher in fetal alcohol, particularly the gene we are looking for, which is the part 2 gene methylation. But again, it's not significantly different because of the variation and the small number. So hoping Tatiana is going to send us more samples and we'll get something exciting. But I'm quite excited with the initial screening. The initial screening looked quite promising. Some of those samples are quite different. So that's all I can say at this stage because the numbers are small and I don't want to jump too much before I get a very significant effect.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing, and we're hoping Tatiana is going to send us. She already replaced some of the samples. We didn't have enough DNA, so we're working on those. And I'm also waiting for Tina to send us her blood sample. So it's just a matter of time, but I think we're in the right track.
Okay. All right. We have about 15 minutes left, but Jen, I've been out of town, but from what I understand, the website's not up yet. But you've made significant progress in trying to update and reformat the web page. But that there's still missing information you need from people?
Right. Do you want me to go show what where we're at right now?
If you can do it in about under 5 minutes, yes.
Yes, we can do it in under. So, if Jill, if you bring up my desktop, people can take a look.
Yep, hold on.
Okay. Can everyone see that?
No.
Not yet.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
So I don't have to do anything from my end, right? You control that?
I have to hit share my desktop from the quick start.
Okay, hold on.
So on the quick start menu, hit share my desktop.
Right in the middle of the screen.
Yeah, I'm not getting that. Hold on a second. Did I get kicked off of there? Because now it's asking me to join again.
No, you're listed as on. All right, maybe we'll come back to you then.
Okay, we're gonna shoot it off to.
All right, do you want to go on with the presentation on imaging today?
Yeah, I want. Yes.
Yes. All right. So let's do that, and then we'll come back to the web.
Okay.
All right. So.
So Jill has to give it back to me.
Jill.
Okay.
I think you have it now, Elizabeth. If you share your desk, there it is. Okay.
Is going to talk about her hard work on this exciting data set.
Hi, thanks, Elizabeth. Thank you for letting me talk about my paper today. Some of you will have seen a draft of this paper that I sent out earlier last month. So basically, I'm looking at how prenatal exposure to alcohol alters the developmental trajectory for visuospatial attention in those with FASD. And this is a multi-site study and longitudinal.
You're cutting off. Oh.
Just to give a brief background, I'm sure everybody here knows about this, but, so there's been frontal and parietal cortical abnormalities that have been found for working memory activation in those with fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. And this has been documented through many studies, but they've all been cross-sectional studies. So there hasn't been a study so far as we're aware of that has looked at how this abnormality in cortical activation changes over time, and more importantly, how this change differs in those with FASD from those that are typically developing. So this study was definitely designed to look at that question as to how this change children is typically developing children. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah,
I got
knocked off, and so I came back on.
So just to give you a brief overview on how the study was conducted, so there were functional MRI at two time points for all subjects, and this is a demographics of the participants I had in the study. There were the Cape Town, Los Angeles, and San Diego. I had the largest sample from Cape Town, South Africa. I had 30 controls and 31 with FASD, and I had 10 each from Los Angeles and 8 each from San Diego. They had the same median age, so about 11 to 14, around adolescent age. They had about 1.4 mean scan interval in Cape Town and slightly higher mean scan interval in Los Angeles, San Diego. And in Cape Town mostly, there was an equal proportion of males and females. And because Cape Town was the largest sample, I did the primary analysis on the South Africa sample, and confirmatory analysis on the results were done on the Los Angeles and the San Diego sample. So basically, I used the visuospatial NBAC task, and I'll be mostly presenting the results from the zero-back task, which is an attention task where participants were asked to stare at the screen and press a button every time a button dot appeared at the center of the screen. So it was mostly attention. They just had to keep the location of the dot in mind and just press in the center. So it was the NBAC task. And the activation patterns that I found for controls and FASD were on the screen right now. They're in the frontal and parietal areas, which we expect because it's a visuospatial task. But interestingly, though, in this region that I've just highlighted, Control showed increase, more activation in this parietal region that I did not see, that we did not see in the FASD sample. And to do a significant test on this same region, we found the same thing. So controls had greater activation in these parietal regions that FASD children did not show. And looking at the same task in the other three samples, looking at the overlap, I'm showing the San Diego, the South Africa activation in red, and the Los Angeles activation in blue, and the San Diego activation in yellow. And as you can see, that there's a considerable overlap between these three sites, which tells us that it's generalizable. So this effect is being seen in all three sites, no matter how different the sites may be. And this is really important to let us know that the effect that we're seeing is probably like there. We can trust it, basically. And they've been corrected for multiple comparisons at 0.05 and cluster corrected at 1.7. So going on from that, I looked at within change in controls and FASD. So basically just within the typically developing children, how did activation change over time in the zero back task and the tension task? And the top figure here, red, shows that the controls activation went up over time, so there was an interaction with time. Whereas for the same task for FASD, there was actually a decrease in activation. So within the groups separately, they were showing different trajectories. But I did not know whether they were significantly different between groups. So I went on to do between group interaction over time. And what did I find? Found that, like I suspected, that there's actually an interaction by group and time, saying that, which showed me that actually we're going up in activation from time one to time two, whereas FASD actually were going down in activation from time one to time two. So the graphs here at the bottom are showing individual voxels in these three regions that I've plotted over time, and I've controlled this for age and scan interval, and they still show that for controls, this blue line, there's this overall trend of increase in peak activation over time, whereas for FASD, this overall trend of decrease in peak activation over time, and this is consistent on all the regions that we've seen. So basically from this, we're thinking that this is showing that there's a difference in trajectory of development in working memory activation. Basically, over time, whereas controls are doing the same thing, but they're increasing the peak or mean activation over time, but FASD, while they're doing exactly the same thing, are not increasing, but they're decreasing over time, and there's this difference in activation, whereas, and you can see that if this is happening over time, this change could actually be cumulative. So over time, this difference can actually increase between controls and FASD, so that, this persistence of attentional deficit that we see over time may be attributed to this, change in neuronal activation that's happening in these population over time. So we think it's really, really interesting. It's never been shown before. We think this developmental trajectory that we've seen for the first time is an important part of this ongoing deficit of attention in this population. And any questions? I went over it really fast. So do I have any questions about this? Anybody?
I don't have a question. Just I think this is very interesting. I think it might be interesting to look at those few subjects in each group that go against the mean, and wonder, and might ask, how confident are people of those diagnoses? And
yeah, that's a really important point. Another thing we are thinking of doing in another study related to this is to look at actually those with FASD, those with like typically only FAS, and those with pre-FAS, so not as severe disability and typically developing children, and whether, the variability that you mentioned there, where some FASD are actually not going down over time, is actually attributed to this specific people in the middle where they may not have that much of a disability compared to FAS, those with FAS. So that's a really important question, and we'll be looking at that in the next paper to see if, the variability that we see is actually attributable to that.
Those may be those heavily exposed kids that Peter looks at that don't show the facial features or
yes.
don't group with those facial features. That would be really interesting.
Yes, it would be, yeah.
I was also wondering about those, you know, upwardly sloping and downwardly sloping ones, what it might be related to. And I wonder if there could be a correlation with the age of the subject, because if I understood you, these prospective looks aren't necessarily from the same age to the, you know.
No, they aren't, but, well, they could be somehow, but I have covariate for age in this sample. And also, most importantly, for the typically developing and the controls, the FASD, they're actually quite age-matched in those two samples. So hopefully we would have control for some of the variability due to age by age-matching them as well as covarying for age in these studies,
okay,
in these analyses. So, but you're right. I mean, it could be related to that. I could, yeah, touch, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to know the individual, for any individual, what this tells us. I'd encourage you to try to look more closely at, as John suggested, those ones that differ from the group mean. Break them up into quartile,
yeah,
something of whether they're increasing, staying the same, or decreasing.
Right, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And look at the neurobehavioral and facial features as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. We're going to try to do one of these on each of our conference calls in the future. And maybe Jen now has something,
yeah,
up on the page.
I have it up right now if you want to just take 1 minute.
I do.
Okay. So can you see it now?
I can.
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that we're really, our initial step was just to make the page more engaging and enhance our public image, and we're still dealing with spacing, so everything will be shown up when it first comes on. You won't have to scroll down, but one of the things we're highlighting here on the front will be news and highlights from CFAS, and there are just some other non-related samples on there, so you can see that it'll scroll through. So I want to emphasize, you saw Michael's picture there, but I want to emphasize to everybody and remind you to please send me information if you have any kind of news, any highlights, or even if you have a publication coming out so that we can highlight that on the front page of the website. We are making some changes to these tabs up at top. One that I wanted to just point out, because again, we need some information from you. We have our research projects. This includes the 150-word summary that's more accessible to other scientists as well as the public. And then at this place, we wanted to have a couple of slides that represent your work, and then finally have the more detailed abstract. So I don't have, I mean, everyone has given me their slides for the NOFAS, but as Michael had requested, just of sending two or three slides that really represent your work, that would be great, because then we can put it on that site. Our publications, we have it set up so that you can access the free publications if you click everything is linked, and then it'll take you to PubMed, and then you can get the free access there. And then the other thing, our events, we have a Google calendar, so things can be linked. You can go on to the link here and get more information, but people also can download events directly to their Google Calendar if they use Google Calendar. We have our news. We have our education, and education is one of the area where we want to put all of these the various slide sets. Right now I have the NOFAS slide set that was created. I have Peter Hammond's Vancouver talk, but this is another request I'm putting out there. If people can send slide sets that you are willing to share with the public, then we can put it up on that educational site. We've also put in a request to Kathy about getting some of the webinars that NOFAS has created to put on that site as well. The other thing that I think is kind of obvious, even with Michael's request, that the need for slides that we may be using privately, and I know, for example, Elizabeth Sal has shared her Vancouver talk, but she has pieces she doesn't want to share publicly. We will be modifying our private area of the CFAS website, but I'm almost wondering if we want to keep those slide sets within the Dropbox, because it can be used more dynamically. So that's one thing we'll be determining. But if anyone has any suggestions or comments, please feel free to let me know.
Jennifer, this looks great. I was just wondering, is NIAAA represented here in the form of a logo or?
Yes, and in fact, this is still under construction. So we have a lot of things. This is kind of give you more of a concept of the direction that we're going, and we're working with eJungle, and they're updating that. So absolutely, that is. We also have sites underneath the About CFAS. So there's also the individual site. Different universities are represented there. But absolutely.
Great. Thank you.
An interesting observation is all the women have their arms crossed, their hands crossed. And all
and Bill Dunty.
Why don't we put the one where I'm on both sides?
Well, we consider that. It has a little bit of a fishbowl look to it, but Jill argued for that one. She really liked that one. But we're going to also crop that a little bit, too. So, again, in the front page, you get the news. You don't have to be scrolling down. So there still are lots of elements that that haven't been completed, obviously. So it's in the midst of construction. But, like I said, I think it's important that you guys can see some of the directions we're going, why we need certain pieces of information from you. And then also, like I said, if there's any feedback that you want to give.
Yeah, and I'll make another pitch again for slide sets. That if people have slide sets that are useful to people presenting to lay audiences, that would be really helpful. When I was in Africa, people there said that they have no information, no knowledge, and yet now they're going to be asked to go out and talk about fetal alcohol. And these were ministers of health from Uganda and Tanzania and everywhere else. And that if we had any information or slides that we could make available to them, that they would greatly appreciate it. So I will make a pitch again that if you have general presentations that you've done on FAS, to send them in, and so we could kind of pick and choose and provide resources for these other countries who want to get involved in FASD research. So I'll just make that pitch one more time.
Mm-hmm. And then our goal is to ultimately make another more kind of complete set that would, just for educational purposes, that's not simply focused on CFAS research, but is broader. But absolutely, if we can get people's talk, that would be great.
All righty. Thank you. And a few more little questions. Maybe Bill or Dale would like to the impact of sequestration on our renewals that are in?
Well, I think you're going to be okay, but the whole system is getting bogged down in ways. We've got folks that are looking forward to getting their Type 5 funding in May, and we haven't, the grants management folks haven't gotten permission to release those notices of grant awards. So I suspect it won't take long in those instances, and that they will, retroactively cover them, from the the beginning of the new year. So as far as I know, things are going to move along, but maybe with a little sluggishness. But yeah, the budget's very tight here, so everything's being done with a lot of scrutiny.
Are there going to be cuts mandatory?
I don't believe above what has already been cut.
Okay, so that we would expect to get what's on our award notice?
As far as I know,
yeah.
As far as I know, I haven't heard anything concrete.
I know they're still, yeah. I know they're working up the numbers right now. Ed.
Okay.
Can't rule it out, but just take things one step at a time. That's where we stand. There's a lot of people not getting their new awards, with percentile scores of 7, 8, and 9%. But I think you guys are fortunate that you got through your recompete when you did.
Yeah.
I think things are okay.
Dale, I'm sorry, John or Dan, Any?
No, I have nothing further.
Dan?
He had to leave.
Okay. All righty. Anything else of import? Talk next month. We'll see each other at RSA. And I encourage everybody to go to RSA. I think it's going to be a very good meeting, except that it's in Florida. But other than that, I think we'll be well represented. We'll go from there. So if no one has any other comments, we can adjourn.
Thanks, Ed.
Take care.
Okay, take care.